Well, welcome back to the Built Different podcast. We are really thrilled to be up here in Frisco, Texas, with our friends from Core Construction, with Ziara and Medina. This is going to be really fun. Every time I get to come to your guys' office, I'm amazed. If you're just listening and not watching, behind you guys here is a little putting green, pickleball, fishing pond. You can't see the
fish in there?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's a story about that, too.
So Adam has now moved to Texas.
Yeah, right? Making a good case.
He's going to be out here afterwards just fishing. But your guys' office is amazing. We just got a little tour real quick. And it's every time I come here, I'm always surprised how I don't just have a desk here in a closet that you guys just find me in and we're like, hey, you need to leave.
You don't work here.
You don't work here yet. Anyway.
You don't even go here.
But thank you, guys. One, we just took over a conference room here and appreciate it. We had people walking by looking into our makeshift production here. And yeah, it's just fun. It's fun to be here and fun to have you guys with us here. So ZR, I'd love to kind of give a little background of how you got here, what your role here is on the core team. Medina, would love to pass it off to you after that. And yeah, we'll get into it.
Yeah, man. So I've been in the industry since 2012, 2013, starting with internship and graduated from UT San Antonio. So worked out there and then did the traveling thing and worked in Corpus for a while and got tired of being voluntold where to go. And so I ended up at another job in Flower Mound, and then I found Core. And, you know, we have a really good culture here, and we've been growing exponentially, basically. So yeah, I've been, you know, I worked my way, started with, Core as an APM and then made it to project manager and since 2018 and have really enjoyed it working on the, municipal side with police stations, fire stations, and, a little bit of higher ed. And then, started getting into the K-12 side now, cause we're the number one K-12 builder in the country. So we have a lot of schools. So yeah, working on an elementary school right now and some other things. And, I really loved Core as far as our culture, technology wise, because we just dive right into anything and everything. And I'm a huge proponent of trying all the new things. I was talking about it the other day. I was just like, how am I always the guinea pig for all of the new stuff?
You keep saying yes.
Yeah, I guess so. And I'm just like, oh, because it works, yep. You know? And sometimes it doesn't, right? But it's been fun. It's been fun. Yeah.
You say culture, and if again you're just listening, tune in with us on a watch. You're wearing a Hawaiian shirt.
I am. Yeah. I am.
We caught you on a Friday, and Adam's over here in his all black. And
I know. I'm bummed. Coming representing the field here.
Didn't get the memo.
Should have brought the drone deploy Hawaiian shirt.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Well, the culture is in full effect. It's really encouraging to get to meet more of your team and. Not only just walking around the office, but yeah, I would say your guys' culture is infectious. It's really fun. Just having met a lot of folks on your team and spending as much time as I have.
You got to come here on Thursdays because we have our own yoga instructor.
So oh, yeah.
During lunchtime, we do yoga.
Come on, man. What were we doing yesterday?
Yeah, we got lunch yoga. Yep.
Yeah.
I feel like
you're supposed to know these things as the resident Texan.
I need like a program plan here, like like a resort calendar here.
Well, we have a whole calendar actually on the in the coffee area.
All right, let's stop the recording. Let's get back out
under we'll our Starbucks coffee machine.
I did see the Starbucks.
That is
like
a luxury and a half.
Tea, too.
Oh, yeah, all sorts of tea. Yeah. We're past the Folgers from
these
the job site.
These are all the perks
site.
That don't show up on the offer letters, right?
Yeah,
that you really
exactly.
have to consider as a
new owner. Considering Core, come visit their office. Yep. On a Thursday. If you're
this turned into a recruiting podcast.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, man. No, it is really cool. Anytime that I feel like I learned something new. I didn't know about Yoga Thursdays. Now I know about Fridays anytime I come up here now.
Yeah, I'll be back next week.
I double as a pit master for Core also.
I was just going to say. I saw
the smoker out
there.
We got... I think three of them. Yeah.
Nice.
So two trailers and then that thing. And yeah, we do competitions. And then I head up the sporting clay team for Core also. So I try to do as many non-work things as possible.
it is very clear you guys have a lot of fun here.
Well, at the same time, he's actually mentoring a couple of new APMs.
Oh, yeah.
And like a couple of projects. So he's not just doing work outside of, you know, just...
Yeah, I mean,
not only for fun, but also he's helping. Mentoring.
That's my
yeah,
other. That's my other side passion too, man. Is, you know, along with technology, but just building up the people around us, right? Not so much only the younger people, but even teaching the old crusties is what I like to call them.
Oh boy!
You know? Oh yeah,
not set by us. Yeah, not set by us.
It's all right. They can call me later. That's fine. but yeah, no, I mean, you know, it's great to have that mix, and we'll talk about it, I'm sure. But just having that mix of the guys that are tried and true, right? They have that field experience, and then, you know, I getting into the industry in like 2012, 2013, just the way that we've propelled technology wise and then the meld of the two of the guys that have been really experienced, and then you have me and coming in, or my generation I guess coming in and just like injecting a bunch of this technology and just learning from each other, and then being like, yeah, you might be the young kid, you don't know the field, but yeah, but you don't know the technology, man. So let's figure out how we can better our industry. And yeah, and it's really come together in a really great way.
We got a lot of fun stuff to talk about.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to be good.
It's going to be good. Medina, give us a little background. How long have you been on the core team? What are you what's your role here?
In May is going to be 4 years. Okay. And I started as intern in virtual construction department of one of the daughter companies of Core. The name is Point Core. We were mainly working on the healthcare projects. So I was born and raised in Uzbekistan, and then I studied arts for my associate's degree. For my bachelor's degree, I have a business information systems, so it's business and IT. And then I decided to pursue my master's degree in technology in the United States. So I arrived here, I think it was like January 2019, started my program with project management in technology field. And so that's a very funny story how I ended up with Core. I went to a career fair just to practice my elevator pitch. And so one of the like directors at that time, he just read my resume. I think he was the only one who read it, and he was impressed. He's like, "You speak foreign languages? You know, like Power BI, you know this and that." And like, he was super impressed, and he's like, "I think we have a job for you." And I'm like, "Are you sure? Like, I don't know how a wall built. Like, it's not my field. I don't know anything." And so he's like, "Yeah, like your background is perfect." And I'm like, "All right, well, if you say so, I believe you." And then the lockdown started.
I was going to say, 2019, man, what a...
Yeah.
Yeah, it was 2020 when I spoke to Dan Joss at that time. And then it was a huge struggle for everyone during that period of time, especially for me being an international student. I thought, like, I need to go back home. What's going to happen next? Will I be able to just graduate? Like, what's going to happen? And so at that time, Core didn't know, like, what's going to happen either. So, but they kept in touch with me, and I think it was the last day when I could apply for like internship. Mm-hmm. For my paperwork, Core said, like, yeah, let's give it a try. So I was like, all right. So I started as an intern, and they taught me everything like from the very beginning. And it's not because, like, you know, I think they just wanted to see like how I'm gonna do with mm-hmm. stuff. They were not particularly looking into like, what do I know theoretically, but how am I able to deal with tough situations. And so after I got my internship, I was offered a full-time job because apparently I did well. Yeah, but the funniest thing is like, they put me on the biggest project at that time. It was $250 million Cancer Center Institute in downtown Peoria. And I was like, are you sure? Like, yeah. I have no construction background. And they said, oh, well, you're going to fly or die. So
feed to the fire.
Come on. Yeah.
So long story short, I'm flying.
That's and great.
Just recently, I was moved to Dallas headquarters area to continue my career in virtual construction. And I never could even dream of what I'm doing right now. And yeah, it's just... a great story.
Man,
it's awesome.
That's
irony is that you weren't even looking for a job when you first went in to talk to him, right?
Yeah, I was
just going to practice the elevator speech.
Yeah, so
I think Adam and I get the blessing of hearing these stories often, but there is no similar story, mm-hmm. but there's a lot of common themes. Mm-hmm. And I think what's really neat about just hearing your kind of, hey, how'd you get here, is just a lot of like tenacity of like, hey, I'm going to put myself in that position. I'm going to see what happens, essentially. And yeah, there's a lot of folks, I think, that can glean a lot from that of just saying, hey, like, take some risks, you know? You don't know what's going to happen. And clearly you're here in a way that you enjoy. Yeah. It's very clear to see.
Well, and to your point, too, about your resume at that point in time, in my past role, I did a lot of recruiting for the contractor that I worked for. And talking to college students all the time, they're all worried about, well, I don't have any construction experience. I don't have any work experience in the field and whatnot. And it's like, the construction's actually the easy part. We're going to teach you all that. I'm looking for people who can withstand the pressure of the construction schedule, who can have those fierce conversations, who can, you know, be a valuable asset to our team. We'll teach you how to build buildings, you know, like that kind of thing. So to hear that from your experience as well, it's pretty good. And
yeah,
we've heard feet to the fire lots of times.
I always say there's three things, because I have, you know, people and friends, family, whatever, that are like, how would I fit in if I had an opportunity to get into the construction industry? Because they see that we get to have a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, man, I tell everybody, you need three things. You need critical thinking skills, willingness to learn, and work ethic. Mm-hmm. And if you have those three things, everything else will fall into place.
You're good.
And I will love to build you up to get to the level that you're going to be, you know, soaring.
Yep.
To add to that, like, you know, we use metric system. So when I started, like, whenever people would say, like, yeah, like half an inch, I'm like, okay, half an inch.
Yeah. 2.54.
Yeah. I'm like, yeah, I use a lot of
steep learning curve.
Yeah.
It is cool, though, because I don't know. I think when you find yourself taking risks and you put yourself in those situations, you don't know the outcome, but the outcome almost becomes sweeter. Like you kind of have a different level of appreciation and gratitude on the back end to see, man, what really was unexpected is now something that is more than I could have imagined. So I don't know. This isn't a podcast about gratitude, but
hey, it is. Yeah, you know,
it's always good to have it, though.
Being comfortable with being uncomfortable is when you grow, right? And so I think that, yeah, it applies to anybody that wants to be in any industry, really. But like, yeah, you gotta kind of take a little bit of a risk, and that's how you grow. And then at the end of it, you're like, well, I did it, and you know, that was great.
That is, in a very strange way, I'm gonna right turn us here, a very good hyperbole of the field, uncomfortable with technology. And that's really what we're kind of focusing on this season, is just this idea of, all right, so we've been at this for a couple seasons now. We've talked to a lot of great people about just innovation, technology, improvement. How does that happen in the construction world? That's a big, broad topic. But this season, focusing on the field and your guys' interaction with the field and what that looks like, it is uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. But then you do hear stories, and we've heard many of them in this season, of on the backside of those, you now become comfortable and you're excited about it and you become an evangelist of it. And I'm really curious, I've kind of found this to be a good starting question that we've kind of launched from, but what would you say like your relationship is with technology, at least in the software, or sorry, in the construction space, and how has that kind of molded over your career, and how's that maybe kind of played out with some folks that you've interacted with at a field level?
Yeah, I was thinking about that, like, you know, coming out of school, you know, we were using like Adobe and what was it, PlanSwift. Mm-hmm. And it was like, oh my God, you can actually take off things, you know, on a computer. And before that, it was like, you know, they were teaching us how to read a scale, you know, in school. And like, we were still using that in the office. And then it was like, oh, you had the little pen thing with the wheel on it, and that would take off for you. And then you got PlanSwift on top of that, and you're like, oh, wow, this is great. And so then now we're in a place where we have like Bluebeam, and it's just like, that's just SOP. You don't even think about it, right? So there's things like that it's just like everyday practice technology-wise. Procore is insane, right? It's so easy with document control and things like that, that like before we were slip sheeting drawings and like, you know, have the big plan sheets that, you know, you had to maintain all the racks and all that. And got all the paper cuts along with it, right?
A lot of paper cuts.
A lot of paper cuts. But yeah, man, and so there's those things where it's like, this is just our SOP now, and this is what we do. With all the different things, droning and the 360 cameras and everything else, and then there's the guinea pig things. and you kind of like, well, maybe this will work, maybe it won't work, but you got to challenge yourself. You got to see, like, is this going to be something that I'm going to use every day? Is it something that's going to be easily trainable? Is there support for me to not own? I don't want to be the hub to train everybody. Mm-hmm. Is there other people that can get into it? And then are people excited about it? Because it's going to actually be easier. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's actually going to improve their day-to-day lives. And it's not just something else to update to. Yeah.
So would you say you would label your relationship with like an optimist like a curious optimist of like, hey, I'm not the one that's going to say no, but I'm definitely what's the word I'm looking for?
I think it's efficiency.
Okay.
Yeah, like if the technology is going to provide efficiency to me and my team, just make that job easier, because construction is, you know, fast moving and we build a lot of schools and we don't have a lot of time to learn technology along the way because we have tight schedules and things like that, that it's just got to be a benefit to the teams. Yeah.
And this is exactly how we jump in to actually utilize some technology in the field. You got to show like what kind of benefit it brings first. You cannot just say, hey, this is 360, go and do it.
Yeah.
Because like you have to, because we think it's good. How we do it, we just show our lessons learned and perfect examples how we utilize or solve the problem in the field, especially with the older generation. And the cancer center, there was one superintendent, he's like super knowledgeable, like, I don't know, 50 years, no, not 50, of course, 30 years.
We love throwing out ages on here.
I think he's like 40 years of experience in construction. Like, wow. He knows all ins and outs. And when I started working there, he actually came to me and he's like, I don't really care what you do, like, but like, if you have questions, you can let me know. I'm not going to like utilize what you're telling me to. And so throughout like 2 years of our experience working together, we built a relationship to the point that he's like, hey, you remember you told me about this? Like, can you come and do it? Mm-hmm. So, and although like he's been in the industry for so long, he understood that like he can utilize technology because it will help him with his processes.
It makes his life easier. Yeah.
Yes.
And I didn't even mention BIM. My God, we did not even do BIM whenever I first came out
of
school.
Such a standard now.
Yes, I didn't even, yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I love it. I mean, you know, some guys will be like in the field, you know, and be like, oh yeah, I don't like doing BIM coordination. It doesn't work once you get out in the field. I'm like, you say that, but it would have probably been tenfold the problems if we wouldn't have done it. Yeah, yeah. There's still some intricacies. The field is still the field. We're not having robots doing everything just yet, but yeah, you know, there's so much that technology does for us and we don't even know about it. And that's when you know it works.
Yeah. Medina, I'm curious. Excuse me there. I had a little cough there. When you were coming into this industry and kind of learning, like you mentioned a couple of times, like, I don't really know much about this industry, what I'm getting into. Like, what would you say your like relationship with technology was coming into this industry? Were you like a, hey, this is, feels like a normal everyday, a part of my, you know, kind of life, even outside of my work stuff, and like, yeah, maybe just kind of hit on that a little.
Well, I've been in a long-term relationship with technology since I was a teenager.
Nice.
Yeah. So I always had the curiosity, and I think it started with the first computer we got, and then it was just like, you know, what else I can do, you know? But it's always like the technology that I utilized was around what I was doing. I rarely sit and just see like what's out there just for fun. Maybe nowadays I do that, but like growing up, I always thought, okay, so I'm doing this exercise, what technology I can utilize to make it better. And so like
finding,
I did some
purpose for it.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. I think it's just like my mentality. I try to do everything with purpose. Mm-hmm. So like I was doing the coding, like creating applications and things like that, but like being on in the field right now, we're mostly utilizing the hardware rather than the software. But like the software part of me also like thinks, okay, so what can we do, optimize the processes on the background, because I know how the you know, like databases work, and then like how software works, and it helps me to solve problems in the field as well, because for something to work particular way, there is always a story for mm-hmm. that.
I think a key word in your explanation there is curiosity. Mm-hmm. I think that where I've seen, and maybe from your guys' experience as well, the most successful implementations of new tools is where you have a team or individuals that are curious,
yes,
that have that curiosity about, you know, that constant looking at, this is the job that we've, the way we've always done it, but there's got to be another way that, mm-hmm. you know, or something we can inject into this, some addition to this that may make things a little easier, more efficient, right? You used the word efficiency earlier. So curiosity is a fantastic word for this.
A right-hand turn here, but do you feel like the field is naturally curious? Meaning like the folks that you can interact with in a field sense, superintendents, field, like...
I don't think so.
Not generally speaking. I mean, they...
And is that because of personalities or experiences?
Personalities.
I think it comes to comfortability. Yeah. I mean, they're just comfortable with how they've built. And then until you show the value of something, they're not gonna really want to buy into it.
I'll throw another word in the mix, which is pressure, mm-hmm. right? A lot of the, you know, our focus on superintendents and you know, the field folks out that are out there yourself, there's pressure to deliver a project by right. a particular time. Yeah. And, you know, if you're under the gun, there's not a whole lot of time to be curious.
You're going to go back to what you know.
Yeah, you're going to go back to what you know because...
Typically? Yeah, I'm sorry.
No, you're good.
Yeah, typically what I've heard from the superintendents, they would be like, I don't have time for this. Mm-hmm. I don't have time for this. And then whenever they need to do something, even in Bluebeam, I saw how overwhelmed they become. Mm-hmm. Even like with using the computer, they're like, 1, 2, 3, I'm done.
Yeah.
And like, there's no enough patience because the schedule is tough. They have so much on their plate, and they think that this particular situation, when they need to use the technology, they just get so overwhelmed, and they're like, no, I'm not going to deal with it. I'll just continue doing what I'm doing for, I don't know, 10 years.
I have a solid success story about technology, but it's actually very low tech.
That's great.
So
the most successful.
Yeah. So I was on a project with an older superintendent, you know, and talking about, you know, young to old and the melding of the two. I came from a company that used lean construction, right? And he had a lot on his plate. He had a lot to get done, and he was trying to just herd all the cats. And I was like, dude, I need you to communicate with me on what's our path to success here? How are we going to finish? And I wasn't getting the information out. He was, you know, just really, really busy. And so I was just like, I'm just going to go ahead and buy some pool boards. And really at that time, it was just corrugated plastic and some, you know, painter's tape and all that. And I started having pool sessions with the trade partners, and I started talking to them, and he was like, I don't know what all these sticky notes and whatever are. They're not really helping, whatever. And then the trade started buying into it, and they were like, yeah, no, this is pretty nice. And so from there, he started buying into it. And then he was like, oh yeah, why didn't you finish on Friday? You said you were gonna finish. And then he was starting those conversations.
You made a commitment.
Yeah, and then we started, you know, actually having our huddles and everything. And it's really grown, actually, core national now. That is our SOP, yeah. is to have pool sessions and have the boards. And we even got into The virtual pool sessions. I forgot the name of the company at the moment. Touch Plans. Yep. Yeah. So we're going full dive in, and so now it's an SOP, and mm-hmm. it comes from that success of, the communication of the old to the young, and then just communicating throughout the whole field, and mm-hmm. then the trades, which is I think something that can be lost.
In that example, though, right? The critical moment there is seeing value.
Yes.
Right? Like, you could have gone down that route. Subs maybe wouldn't have bought in because they didn't see the value.
Right.
Your superintendent may not have bought in on the value because, mm-hmm. you know, it wasn't there, but you were actually providing a service that had value.
Yes.
To the efficiency of the project.
And here's another
and it made his life easier. Yeah.
Keyword would be accountability, because mm-hmm. once everything is out there and every trade partner knows, like, who is doing what and what will prevent that, like, one trade partner from doing something, like, they know exactly, like, who to go to and say, why didn't you finish up, mm-hmm. you know?
What's interesting is, so I heard curiosity, accountability, I would say
efficiency.
Why do you think those are not associated with technology and innovation? Like, why do those words not have a closer correlation? Sorry, I feel like I only ask the tough questions.
Yeah, I feel like they do for me. I mean, that's kind of what I look for in using new technology, is bringing value and efficiency.
And is that because of your maybe experience working through it?
Probably.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which I think, I mean, it's totally fair.
Yeah.
But I think even thinking of it at a field level, those are words that don't, that aren't associated with like accountability. Hey, you told me this was going to do something, and it hasn't.
The funny thing about those, that bank of words, is that two of them contradict each other: curiosity and efficiency. You're not very efficient in your curious processes, right? You're just kind of, you know, you're out there. You can be efficient about being curious, I guess, to a certain extent. But, you know, I don't know that they go hand in hand completely. Interesting.
They can. I mean, I just did it yesterday with there's a Pro Extract or something that we're going to be using with Procore, and it was either that or pipe, and it was like, you know, I love making our closeout process as efficient as possible because everyone wants to get on to the next job and no one has enough time for it. Mm-hmm. And so it was just like, let's do a 10-minute demo, whatever. Did it. All right. I was curious about it. It looks efficient. All right, let's move on. Let's do it and go.
To answer your question, though, I think it depends on the generation you grew up in, and the environment. True. Because even myself, like, I'm a young individual, and I grew up with technology, but, like, looking at the, you know, younger generation, they're so much more advanced. Even, like, TikTok, you know? Like,
that's true.
I'm a millennial, and so, like, TikTok is kind of hard for me, like, you know, to create videos and things like that. But, like, of course, because I'm good with technology, I figured out how to do it. But, like, the Generation Z, like, they just, you know, it makes sense for them, and it goes so much easier for them to, like, create something there. Taking me, I would take time to, like, learn about it and do it differently. But if we take, for example, my parents into the picture, my mom won't be able to do it. And so what I'm trying to say is, because when you grow up in a certain environment, you get comfortable. And technology is associated with being uncomfortable because it's something new, because it's a change. Whenever there is a change, there is, you know, overwhelming feelings. Mm-hmm. And people don't like to be uncomfortable. So that's why there is this resistance and that barrier. And that's why we need people like me in the field trying to get the buy-in and, like, you know, start embracing the technology without having that fear of, you know, being unsuccessful or just, like, uncomfortable.
Totally.
Yeah, I'd love to never be set in my ways in the industry. I feel like I always just want to innovate and just, you know, learn from our younger guys too, because, you know, they might know how to do, like, macro writing and things like that, and I'm like, oh, dude, you learned that in, like, high school? That's insane. teach me everything, you know?
How much do you think empathy plays into innovation and technology adoption? Because I feel like it's kind of a word we haven't really brought up in some of these conversations yet, of just empathizing. I think you said it, Medina, a little bit, of just generational differences. Like, hey, if you just studied generational differences, you're probably going to be a better change management expert or technology implementation expert, right? How much do you guys, has, like, empathy kind of played into some of the conversations you've had at a field level and seeing some of, like, the, oh, what I thought maybe is something completely different than what I'm seeing out in the field?
Yeah, so, like, if someone's uncomfortable with a technology and it's like, man, we really got to use this, like, we know there's value here, you put a little bit more effort in teaching them and giving them breadcrumbs to get along the way, and then you're like, hey, no, I'll spend the time with you. Mm. We're going to get you trained up on it, and then you're going to eventually see, oh, yeah, no, this is valuable. Okay, and you just needed a little bit more to get you there, which is fine. And then the whole team's better for it.
I think what's interesting in that, too, is in the empathy part of it, is understanding what is important to that individual and what will resonate with them on the value that you're providing, right? Like, putting yourself in their shoes and seeing the world through their eyes.
Yes.
And saying, oh, this is going to make this aspect of your life better, mm-hmm. right?
Grant, to answer your question, I have actually a sticker
on my... Come on. Look at Medina over here. She's so, like, sponsored by my sticker here.
Yeah.
Glad you asked.
It says, be kind.
Yeah.
I this is one of my values. I try to live by being like empathetic, just human. You know, I'm just trying to be a human. And whenever I have to work with someone, I try to tap into humanity. So empathy for me comes first. Whenever we work, no matter on what, you know, first of all, you need to connect, because you don't work with robots. You don't work with machines. Although I do, but the world is being run by people, by humans, and humans. You need to be humanly. You have to have the humility. Whenever you get, you build this relationship with anyone, just, you know, to tap into human, you know, levels, and after that, you build this trust. And whenever you trust someone, you feel less overwhelmed, and you don't feel like you have to protect yourself or protect your ways. So I think another key word for us would be just being kind and, you know, connecting on a human level.
Yeah. I'm curious a little bit too, circle back to a topic you brought up, ZR, of like, hey, we have a really fun culture here. Mm-hmm. Culture doesn't get built overnight. It doesn't get built in a year, 5 years. Like, what would you say the culture is at core around technology in the field, from your guys' perspective of what you've seen, and would you label that as kind of fun and as infectious as what we've obviously get to see, you know, from kind of the short time we've been here and the conversations that we've had?
Yeah. I mean, I think it is pretty infectious to have all of our technology at our fingertips and share it with our teams, and we all get to kind of learn together. And we're like, we talk about, you know, yeah, we're excited to figure out new things about Procore and whatever, Bluebeam and whatnot, and how it is going to make our lives easier. And we share tips with each other too. You know, I think we even have a tips and tricks teams channel, you know. Nice.
And Danielle, she sends out like, you know, all the tips and tricks.
Yeah. And we get excited about it.
I'm going to take a left turn. You've given us a couple of rights, so I'm going to go left. Empathy, all the feelings we've talked about, all the great words.
I'm just in a feeler mode this morning.
Yeah. It's good. Grant's all in his feels today. One thing that's not always very empathetic is budget.
Uh-huh.
And yeah. ZR, as the project manager, you've probably been in situations where you've had to make some hard decisions on how much money do we spend on the potentially nice to haves, the things that you're trying out, the technology. How do you weigh that against all of the words and everything that we've just talked about in the building process?
All the Grant feels over here.
All the feels.
All the feels. Yeah, the dollars have feels too. Mm-hmm. I just had a conversation about that just yesterday. Hard project, budget's tight, we still got to close out the job. And, you know, it has to come, the technology has to bring the value to basically almost not replace, but for sure make that young APM's life easier at the end of the job. Because don't worry, we got another job for him right behind. So that it was, you know, the cost was minimal. But it was like, if it's going to make him efficient and we don't have to like have a whole other person to do that work, it's going to be worth it. Mm-hmm. We weigh the cost of technology for sure in our decisions, but it's just got to have that value, and then it'll pretty much pay for itself.
Yeah. How much time do you spend in the pre-construction process building those budgets, or are you inheriting those budgets that may or may not have holds in there for allocations in there?
Yeah. So
here we go. I know when there's
a spot. Yeah. I'd say when I get involved in the pre-con process, it's probably like an 80% side of things. Realistically speaking, mm-hmm. you want to get in as early as possible, right? But like probably about 80%. And most of the time, I'm like, hey, where's money for VDC? What are we doing technology wise? What's the plan? We'll get it put in because we need it. Mm-hmm. And we're going to do it anyways. It is our SOP.
Yeah.
So
how much money will you use to fix someone's problem? Exactly. Like, you know, rework. And like one of our, you know, point for like company missions and values is like no rework. So if you put enough money in the budget for technology, you are being proactive and trying to catch all the problems beforehand.
It's well spent. I mean, that's what it comes down to. It's well spent. Not so much on the money side either. The heartache and the effort and the, you know, RFIs and overprocessing, like all of that, like that can be associated with dollars too. So, yeah, I think it all makes sense.
Yeah, that goes back to your lean point earlier around minimizing waste.
Right? Yes. Absolutely.
Who do you find is, this is, I'm going to take another left turn for you here.
Do a barrel roll.
Who's driving this thing?
Tell me a little bit about who do you feel like is the most influential voice when it comes to technology within the company? We'll talk about a field level, a year level, a VDC level. Like, obviously, those are a lot of voices that have to get weighed in the ultimate decision of should this get used, should this not get used. Who in your kind of mind do you see as maybe incrementally weighed differently when an idea comes across, or a, hey, I got to have this, or hey, I don't really understand why we need this. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I think on the project manager is probably the key person for the project to decide, you know, what technology are we going to be using, because it can be the superintendent, and there's for sure field technology that's primarily for the field that they're going to be using. But as far as like supporting that technology throughout and the process of really our main job is information flow, right? So like if I think that technology is going to help our flow of communication, I'm going to make that decision of, yeah, we need to use that. Yeah.
I would say that it would be leadership, because for example, when ZR or anyone in, you know, superintendent or project manager, they get the job, it was already budgeted during the pre-construction. Sometimes they get involved, but most of the time the pre-construction team doesn't know exactly who's going to be leading the project. So if ZR is not involved during the pre-construction phase, like how do we ensure that we have enough money for technology? And we did have those cases when there was not enough technology money put in the budget. So I think whenever we talk about like who is the one who is technology leading, is like the leadership. Will it be the director of pre-construction? Will it be director of the field operations? Will it be the CEO? So that's why like in our company, I think our upper leadership, they all know how much value we bring in. It's a matter of like making sure that whenever the budgets are created during the pre-con phase, that's put in accordance with all the things that we can do with technology.
What's funny, I feel like this is more common than most. The conversations we have before hitting record are just as fun and enlightening. Danielle was just telling us about a conversation she had of someone went to use a drone at home on a weekend and just kind of, you know, at their own kind of leisure, came back, was like, why are we not using this in, you know, more ways or more people or things like that? And it's interesting when you hear that, because when you talk about it at a leadership level, I think what's challenging is the personalization of it, right? It's a number, it's a line item, it's a name of a product that hasn't been personalized. And that's when you get to the value engineering phase or the kind of budget shrinking phase, it's like, well, that's just a name. They aren't as emotionally tied into some of these different tools and products like you would be.
Yeah.
Like you would be, like some in the field too.
I think the third persona, you talk about PMs, upper level management, leadership, the superintendent, getting close to my heart. How often or do you have recall of any instances where a superintendent came to you and said, hey, I've used this on my last job, we need it on this job, and you've had to find the budget or just make it happen?
I had a superintendent that really wanted to use TouchPlan. I was like, man, I don't know if we can fit it in, but we'll see if we can, you know, if you really want to use it and you're gonna own it. And I love it. I'm not opposed to it at all. He doesn't know about all the metrics and everything behind it that comes with it. But I was like, man, we'll figure it out, you know?
So you green light things in that situation where the superintendent says, I need this, or we need this, or the project needs this.
Oh, yeah.
But that's also awesome. Like having someone who knows about different like options in technology. Like I had the case when general superintendent, he came to me and he's like, I don't know Microsoft Project, but I need to like do my scheduling. So let's just go and do the P6, like just purchase the software and do it. I'm like, well, what exactly you want to see from the P6? And then he just listed the items. And then I'm like, hey, I can actually like modify the view in the Microsoft Project. And so that it will look like P6, but like it will be more familiar to you, but also serve the purpose. So,
yeah, so it's almost like, hey, I don't want to go back to the fields here, Adam, but the empathy part of it there is like, hey, what I hear you saying is this, what maybe a little bit of a change in direction can output as this, and, you know, the small things that get you along the way.
And I love the point about the education piece. I think education has come up in previous conversations with other teams as well. And I think where a specialized person in your role as well, a lot of what you're charged with doing is just educating the field as mm-hmm. well on what is possible, right? I mean, I have lots of conversations with superintendents, and one of the things I hear very often is, you know, I ask a question along the lines of, what would you like to improve about your life or your, you know, the job site, you know, the job cycle? And a lot of the answers are like, well, I don't really know what's possible. Like, I don't know what's out there, so yeah. I don't really know where to start. And so, being that educator, I think, is really important.
Yes. Education's huge. And I think as far as implementation of new technology and innovating, so the enterprise level, right, you know, CEOs and whatever saying, yeah, top down, it's going to happen. But then you have the grassroots implementation too, and that's where, you know, you get me, the guinea pig out in the field, and you're just like, this is great. We need to use this. And that's how we went to Last Planner on every project. So you're just showing that value while doing the education at the same time. And then it's just like, yeah, no, we need to use this.
Yeah, great.
We've talked about it on a couple other episodes this season of how even changing the language of technology in the way that it's billed or budgeted or implemented, meaning like, hey, this is a tool, like a piece of equipment, like a, you know, some people still maybe put laser scanning in as a, you know, hey, this is a line item in the budget. And it's like, well, what the heck does laser scanning mean? As someone who's approving a budget, right? And it's like, well, this is a field verification tool. And how that changes a lot of the narrative, either at a field
quality control,
you know, inspection, verification. And it's interesting. I remember the first time I saw some of the project team that I used to work with do that. I was like, huh. I didn't think about how just even the phrase of what it's called can help get across those, you know, hurdles that feel like mountains, that feel like valleys, that, you know, just eventually.
Well, aerial photography has been in our budgets as long as they've been flying airplanes over construction sites. And so, you know, calling it drones now is a little scary versus calling it aerial photography, which has been in the budget.
We used to have the plane flyover and all that. Mm-hmm. I was just like, wow, we're actually having a plane take a photo. And then we went to drones, and I was like, oh, sweet. Yeah.
You get like 6 pictures a month, and like, sweet, that's all we need.
But are there phrases that you've kind of seen more sticky or more palatable when it comes to the way you phrase it, I guess, in the education piece? Because like, hey, we want to come use a 360 camera. It's like, what you want to do what? But like, yeah, what have been some phrases that you guys have seen in helping educate or getting approved?
I think the overall with technology, the differentiation of like the cool factor of technology versus what you just said being a tool. If it's a cool factor, I think people get turned off faster because they're just like, oh, okay, you know, it's a 360 picture, cool, I can look all around the room. But then when you say it's a tool to verify what's in the wall and it's going to, you know, protect us and be able to say, yeah, there is blocking behind that TV. Oh, all right. Yeah, let's take some time and learn how to do this. And, yeah, you know, go out in the field and take those pictures every week. Project engineer, please.
Yeah.
I always start. Oh, documentation, quality control, mm-hmm. verification. So, like, I just got used to, like, calling it that way because I think that's easier to comprehend and be less resistant. And then I say cool stuff, but at the same time, like, not everything that is cool can be useful. Mm-hmm. So it always goes to like buy in. So whenever you say, okay, you got to take pictures anyway, that's part of the project, you need to document it. Why don't you do it in the same spot? Mm-hmm. I'm bringing up the drone deploy.
Yeah, I think what's fascinating about it too is something you just said that just resonates so much with me is when you phrase it in a way that comes across as like something new and cool and fun, it's like the dismissiveness immediately mm-hmm. that you're met with. It's like, and I think a challenge, at least Adam and I sometimes talk about this on the software side of it now, kind of being over here and the way we message things and the words we use and the phrases we say, like, it matters. Mm-hmm. And the way that you educate matters. And if it's not done in a way that I think resonates at that job level, it's like, we're just kind of puffing smoke over here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like going to the grocery store and there's, you know, 57 different types of barbecue sauce. And you're just like, that one looks kind of cool. Okay, whatever. And you just end up grabbing what you usually mm-hmm. grab. Right. So yeah, it's got to be intentional.
How do you feel like...
That's a very Texas analogy.
I was just going to say, let's bring some barbecue back in here. How do you guys feel field teams are educated about tools that are out there? Like the ones that are coming to you and kind of recommending and saying, hey, I want to use TouchPlan or I want to use this other tool. How do you feel like they are best aware or made aware of different tools that are...
So CORE hosts every year an onboarding session, and during the onboarding session, we have each department to present, to show like what exactly we're doing. But because we're growing so exponentially, like we have lots of people being hired, and so like I've noticed that like some people just don't know about things that we do. So that's why we host, I think it's like every quarter, some kind of tips and tricks for technology or virtual construction. Then Danielle, she also sends out like monthly like tips and tricks. But at the same time, like when you're a new employee in this company and you receive email with all of those things, you're just like, oh, I don't know that. So I think at after that point, you need someone to actually come to you and talk to you and say, hey, you know, this is what I'm doing. Like whenever you get a problem, just give me a call and then we'll figure out how we can support you with our technology.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, our VDC team is great as far as like reaching out and saying like, hey, we're testing out this thing, you want to look at it? And then like, yeah, sure, we'll look at it. And maybe we go with the full implementation of it if it has that value. I think also with us bringing in new folks, where they've come from, they might bring something that we're not aware of. And totally open ears. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Do you have a thought? No. Oh, I thought you were left turning on us over here.
No, you're good.
Yeah, I think just to maybe kind of close as we're landing the plane here a little bit, anything that you would want to say or encourage someone, maybe Medina in your role on the VDC side and ZR on the kind of project management and project side, about someone that's just, you know, they listen in, they hear these stories, they hear about these companies that are doing things well and maybe get discouraged. Anything that you would want to encourage them with, or even someone who's a superintendent listening in and, you know, like, oh man, I may not work at a company that approaches it this way or thinks this way, but still has that desire to, you know, see it be successful. Anything that you'd want to share with them?
I think just, yeah, not being set in your ways, but you can be comfortable, but you have to try and be uncomfortable every now and again, and don't let the pressure get to you. You know, find a way to make your life easier, and the only way to do that is to be a little bit uncomfortable and try something new. And you know, time management, I guess, with that, right? So like, you're not going to spend a week trying to learn a new technology, but it's just, you know, do a little webinar, you know, do a little training session and see how it goes, and you might like it. So
be curious.
Just be curious, man. And then just don't close off to anyone around you, right? Utilize the people around you, the intelligence around you. We have a lot of great people in our industry that, you know, I'll utilize every young kid that comes out with, you can teach me how to do a TikTok, that's fine, you know? and then the superintendents to the younger guys, you know, just bring those people up. Yeah, bring those people up, and you could take maybe half an hour in a field walk with a young PE, and you might change his whole career, mm-hmm. you know, just telling him something about the field that he would never have learned in a book at a school. Mm. And that's part of the greatest part of our industry is the melding of the we have a huge age gap, right, in our industry. And like the melding of those, that age gap is pretty cool. Mm. And I'm really excited and curious to see where we're at in the next 10 years and the next 10 years after that, because we've grown as an industry so crazily in the past decade. And they, you know, going from the paper plants that we don't even have paper in our offices, in our job trailers anymore. And so, yeah, it's really great. Mm,
love that. But in any encouragements to someone maybe in your role or kind of at that field role that you've seen that you're just like, hey, hold on, keep going strong, keep being curious?
So first of all, I think in construction we have lots of people with type A personalities, and you have to be type A personality to
which is what? How would you define type A?
Goal oriented, just, you know, with tunnel vision. I have these dates, this budget, this scope, and I have to make it done on time so that building is, you know, given to the client. And so when you're laser focused on something and you have this urge of like managing the project, being responsible for so many trades, being responsible for the company, you know, you get very, what do you call it? Tunnel visioned in your ways.
Focused, yeah.
Yeah. Super focused. And so at the same time, like you gotta have the humility, because whenever you're laser focused and you only have your tunnel vision, you miss so much, because life is more than just one way. There's so many ways. Of course, like you cannot just spend time and do the generalization and like take time to learn everything. What you need to do is just to have a touch base with the reality, see like, okay, what are the options, and then select the right one for your project. And don't follow like all the buzzwords, say like right now everybody is saying in reality capture they do like twins, you know, digital twins and things like that. Yes, it's pretty cool. It's very beneficial in some industries, but like, for example, in construction, we have different goals. So digital twin is not as realistic. It will take so much time for you to actually keep it up, because digital twin is only effective and efficient when you put in the hours of like constantly like scanning it and keeping up to date. So I think what I wanna leave superintendent and project management people with is just have this have your ears open to hear what's out there, but at the end of the day you will make a decision of what's better for your project.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and just have some humility and just be willing to hear out what's out there available, because people have great stories, great experiences that you can learn from and benefit from too.
Yeah, well said.
Awesome.
It's funny hearing both of your guys' encouragements of like knowing and thinking people that can benefit from that, but also how that has really baked over your career.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, that's not something you realize in a year, 6 months, you know, 2 years. It's like, hey, those are things you're constantly aware of and you're kind of sensitive to. You perk your ears up and you say, oh yeah, I remember that. I saw that in a little bit, and you maybe don't fully dive in, but you know, you kind of were curious. I feel like that's the key word here.
Mm-hmm.
We keep buzzing back to, but yeah, it's great. It's interesting that there's so many people that I think what I also heard both of you say is just this idea of, hey, like, don't go alone. There's a quote I love by someone that I'm sure we'll get on here one day. It's like, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it's really true when you think about that in the sense of innovation, technology, construction, all those things. Adam, any?
And I would like to add, like, I mentioned what I want to for project managers and superintendents to stay with, but also I think my encouragement to people in my role to also have humility, because our job, especially BIM coordination, like, you deal with so many people, so many projects at the same time. Everybody has their own experiences. In my line of work, I deal with a lot of people saying like, oh, we use only Navisworks, or this is the only thing we do. And Core utilizes Revisto right now. And so like, I have that, although like people that I work with, they're tech savvy, but they have the same ways as any humankind. Mm. They just prefer one thing that they know for sure and prefer working there. And then that's on me to work with them to make sure that they are successful with the software that's out there as well. So people who does kind of work that I do, also just have the humility, just be patient, just like listen to what is modeler is saying and try to connect the dots, so that, because our job is to make sure that the job is being done. So if I say like, no, this is the way you're gonna do, like, we're gonna do this way and there's no other opportunity, I will waste time and I will have someone on my team who feels dismissed and put down. So, yep.
Feed the field.
Yeah.
Feed the field. Adam had to find one way to bring it in here.
Yeah.
But it is true. I think what I heard you say too is just, hey, preferences are really good, but collaboration is much stronger, especially in the sense of tools, opportunities, workflows, all those things. Like, it is really, I think, beneficial to have strong preferences, but when those preferences build walls, that's not the place to be. So, Adam, any thoughts you want to share?
I think, just for the field folks again, too, it's like, you know, as you get further and further into the career, think about, you know, take a step back, right? Take that little, that opportunity to review the way we do things now and take that process, that task, that whatever it is. And how did I do that 10 years ago? Mm-hmm. It's probably not the same.
Yeah.
Right. And so, you know, whether you've cognitively thought about that before, you know, keep that mindset moving forward. And so when that task you do today, 10 years from now, like to your decade kind of measurement there, how's it going to be different in 10 years? And just be embrace the fact it probably will be different.
Study right? evolution.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I think the phrase is like, well, this is the way we always do it.
Yeah.
Well, what if we did it this way?
I have a new one. It's because the way we've always done it isn't always the way it should be done.
That's a good one.
Is that another sticker?
Yeah.
You put that on a sticker?
I'm going to put it on a hat or something like that.
Hard tattoo,
hat
sticker. Yeah.
It is true, and I think that's what's just so fun about this topic in this industry in particular, is what got us here isn't what's going to get us there. Mm-hmm. And we're always, I mean, if you don't like change, this is not a very good industry and a very good space to be in. But change is exciting. And I think if you approach it with the same, with a mindset that is curious. And
well, you want it or not, it's going to happen. So it's either you're going to ride it or you're going to die. So.
That's right, ride or die. Well, team, thank you guys for having us. This is so fun. I see a pond out there that's calling Adam's name. To bring his fishing pole.
You got to land the plane so I can go catch a plane.
Nice.
Next time we'll wear some Hawaiian shirts with ZR.
Yes,
sounds great.
Fit in a little bit. But Medina, thank you for having us. ZR, great to meet you and spend more time with you guys. Thank you again for hosting us. This is great. We love getting little tours of what it looks like behind the scenes on the other side of the computer screen that we don't get to see often. So thank you guys for listening and tuning in. Appreciate it. And
yeah, thank you guys too.
See you next time. That. Thanks for tuning in. We will see you here soon. Take care.
Make sure to subscribe to Built Different on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere you listen to podcasts. Let's build this community together.